Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, knowing that it has become a reality. The manifestation of every seed that you ever laid in this Bible is becoming clear to us as we see the day approach. Help us, Lord, to be ready for that day, for we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to greet you all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning I'm going to be talking about reality and what is it actually. You know, in the very beginning, God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. And you know, when Brother Branham quotes us to it, he says, when God said, let there be light, he said, it became light. He said, it's no longer a word then, it's a reality. So, if you think about reality, you could stand in front of a mirror and you, in the total darkness, and you don't see yourself. Now, you say, well, then it's not a reality. Well, then when you turn on the light or crack the door a little bit to where some light comes in from the hallway, and you begin to see off your forehead and in the high places, maybe off your shirt. But if you crack the door all the way open, you begin to see more detail. Well, then turn on the light in the bathroom and you begin to see everything. You know, you no longer see in shadows because God is not in shadow of turning, but he is completely light. Well, then what is light? Well, what is reality? It is light. You know, Paul said in Ephesians 5 that all things that are manifested by what? By the light. So what is that? It's a word. So it's a word made real. So what is reality? A few weeks ago, I preached a sermon called From Word to Reality, and we showed you that they read the same Bible as you can read, and they hear the same tapes that you hear, but they cannot see it in reality. They cannot see the reality of it. So in other words, the door's still shut. Okay, there's no light coming on. And just like the foolish virgin, they couldn't see who was standing there saying, I am here. But we know that the parousia has come. We know that God has shown us 84 signs and events that are associated with the parousia of Christ. And so we know that his end time has come. We see those. We see 79 have taken place. We're just looking for a few more. And the difference between the wise virgin and the foolish is that they were both called out to come out and see him. They both heard the midnight cry. One could see him, and she entered in based on that sight, and the other did not go in based on not seeing him who was standing there. So they got tired of waiting for him, and they went to them that sell, which we know who sells. So the calling out was a reality to one and not a reality to another. You see? So the light is upon his word and is upon those seeds in his word which have come to light or have come to manifestation. That's what we are looking for. That is what separates the wise virgin from the foolish virgin. You can see the day and the hour. They're only hoping that this is the day and the hour. Okay? One saw reality of his presence, the 79 events out of 84, and the other saw a compendium of sermons. Let me repeat that. They saw only a message, a compendium of sermons, but they didn't learn by it. It was new to them every time, and they saw basically what they saw in 1965, they're seeing in the year 2023. Now, the difference between them and you, or I should say those who believe that God is fulfilling his word, is that we see every word of God in its entirety. We see that it is real, just as real as the flesh on your skin. It is part of you, part of who you are. Now, what they called a message, but they saw no reality. They saw no one when they came out. And so they went out to where they thought the message was at, and that was to the secret chamber where everything was a big secret. But the real Greek translation of the word secret chamber is a storehouse or distribution center. And so that is where they went thinking they would find the one who gave the midnight cry. But they didn't realize that Brother Branham was not the midnight cry. Brother Branham's voice was the midnight cry. But it was the one who was here was Elijah. And Brother Branham said, the Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so anyway, and so that is where they went, thinking they would find the one who gave the midnight cry. But just a chapter earlier, Jesus told them not to believe them when they said that he is in the storehouse. He said that. He said, if they say he's in the storehouse, believe it not. So people that believe that he is still in the storehouse haven't even come to a reality of the message yet. They're still looking in old terms that, you know, and it was called the storehouse, also called the distribution center. And actually it started out as a Civil War distribution center. So, and storehouse. So it's just, that's what they call it. So what made them different? The wise and the foolish virgin. As I said earlier, one saw a reality. They saw his presence, not just a creed. Whereas to the other, they heard a compendium called the message. That was a difference between them. One saw a reality and the other just heard a midnight cry, not expecting to see anything. From perfect faith, Brother Branham said, open their eyes, Lord, that they may see what is going on and not be blind, staggering, to see the reality of the presence of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Grant it, Lord, through Jesus' name. Amen. So what is this reality? What was this reality to one group that one group saw? It was the very presence of the one who was shouting, behold, he is here. Now, reality is defined as a state or quality of being real. That doesn't really help us now, does it? That is so obscure that unless we know what is real, we will not know what this reality is. Well, let me just say, when God said, let there be light, and the light came forth, Brother Branham said, it's no longer word, it's reality, correct? Well, who was it that came forth? It was his son, the Logos. All right? So what is reality is the word. You see? That's it. It's that simple. All right? That is so obscure that unless we know what is real, we will not know what reality is. So what is being really, being real actually mean? The word real means that which is true, not merely ostensible. That which is outwardly apparent, but is also nominal, which means in name also, which means you can put a name to it. The real reason why the thing exists or is occurring as a fact, an actual rather than an imaginary, ideal or fictitious, being an actual thing, having objective existence, not imaginary, the events you will see in the film are real and not just made up. In other words, the Lord Jesus is real. Hebrews 13 and 8 is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, how do you know that he is here when you don't see him with your eyeballs? Although we have the picture because he did come down and he went from the invisible to the visible to you and I. He went from the unreal to the real. All right? He came down in three rainbows. We didn't see the three rainbows of Brother Branham until 2007. Then those three rainbows appeared and made God a reality that we are following the same message that he followed. All right? So It is nominal, which means you can put a name to it. The real reason why the thing exists or is occurring as a fact, as actual rather than imaginary. Most people's God is imaginary. I'm talking about the whole world. It's imaginary. All right? They have never met him. They don't know him. They don't know his nature. They don't know anything about him. He's invisible. He's in another dimension. But wasn't it wonderful that that same God appeared as the pillar of fire to Paul, and he said, I am Jesus. And Paul scratched his head. He probably scratched his hair. I scratched my head. But anyway, so he said, wow, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. So Paul began to study. He went to the desert, studied 3 years, and found that God, who is invisible, manifested as a light. That light was entered into his son at the River Jordan and left his son to die a mortal death. So, an actual rather than imaginary, ideal or fictitious. Being actual, having an objective existence, not imaginary. The events, okay. In other words, what is really happening, not just seeing it, but understanding the what's and wherefores. It can be summed up in one verse of scripture. He made known in Psalm 103:7, he made known his ways unto Moses. What's the word ways? It's the word derech. And it actually means the path of life. So he made known his ways unto Moses, but his acts unto the children of Israel. In other words, yes, Christian people and message people, they've seen some miracles on tape. They heard on tape. They've seen the video. And they saw God the same yesterday, today, and forever performing the sign of Messiah through William Branham. And they say, yes, I know his acts. But they haven't learned God's ways. So they know that God is real, but they don't see the reality of him. All right? From perfect faith, he said, open their eyes, Lord, that they may see what is going on and not be blind, staggering, but to see the reality of the presence of the resurrected Jesus Christ, granted, Lord, through Jesus' name. In other words, the reality of the presence of the resurrected Lord Jesus. That's what the sign of Messiah was trying to get across to the people. But they saw a veil. They saw a man. They had their eyes on the man, and they missed the God who was using the man. From a sermon trying to do God a service, William Branham said, now, he reveals his word only in a season. Martin Luther read the same Bible we did. Wesley read the same Bible Martin Luther did. Pentecostals read the same Bible we read. Jesus read the same Bible that the Pharisees read. But they had, trying to keep the corn in early stages when it was ripening, they failed to see their hour. Now, David has done, or excuse me, he's talking about David doing a sign or doing a service without being God's will. In other words, he says, when it was ripening, they still left it in the field. They were still thinking it's ripening when it was in the harvest bins. They don't see that he is working. They don't see what he's doing. God reveals this word in the season to whom he chooses to reveal it to. God chooses who he reveals it to. He chose that before the foundations of the world. All of his doings were foreknown by him, hidden from man. He just reveals them as he will. Now, I'm sorry that my speech is a little bit off this morning, and I think it's more or less the Novocaine is still, they batter up my mouth a lot, and it's still puffy. It's still tender. So, anyway, from recognizing your day and its message, Brother Bram said, there's only one can see. That's the one who predestinated to see it. Otherwise, you'll never see it. The Jews cannot see that being their Messiah, and yet they were scholars and theologians, men of great renown, scholarship. They read the same Bible that you read. Now, after it's been made known to us, we can see it plain that it was Messiah. But they couldn't see it. Neither can they see it today. They are prophesied to be blinded to. The church of this day is prophesied to be blinded to reject the evening time message. That's Laodicea, blind and naked, miserable, don't know it. All right? From the Sardisian church age, they read the same Bible that we read, but they just didn't take all of it because it wasn't revealed to them. It's like I could have an argument with a minister, so-called, doesn't have a church, just has a internet thing. And he called to argue with Brother Vail, and Brother Vail turned him on, gave him my telephone number. I said, thanks a lot. So he calls me a few days and says, Brother Bram was wrong. I said, who vindicated you? And you all know the story. Well, you see, it wasn't revealed to him that God entered Jesus and left Jesus, even though the prophet said it. He couldn't see that when Jesus was on the cross, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the word forsaken means totally abandoned. Now, how can you totally abandon yourself? You can't do it. But God could abandon the vessel, and the vessel could crumple up and die, a death like anybody could die. But see, they believe the vessel was God. The vessel was not God. It was just something God used. All right? It wasn't revealed to them. So there were some ordained to come into his parousia, which means his presence, and others who were not ordained to understand it. That is the difference between reality and just being a follower of the midnight cry. They know the 84 signs and events of his parousia, the things that are supposed to take place. They've read it from the Bible. But you know what? They read it and they passed over it, and they didn't really put one and one together. All right? It's not just a word to them. They have seen it, and they are aware. They all heard the midnight cry, but five who were filled with the Holy Spirit, it was a reality to them, while those not filled with His Spirit, it was just something they heard. Now, here's the thing. They might live a better life than you do. They might dress better than you do. They might, Lord, bless you better than you do, because we're not trying to put on a show. We're trying to be who we are. But I can say this, they're not cleansed by the blood of the Lamb like you are. All right? That's the difference. His blood has sanctified me and made me pure, virgin, spotless bride of Jesus Christ. No matter how many faults I have, no matter how weak that I might be in my condition, or even in my pre-existing condition, you know, Romans 7 says, who can deliver us from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's not through me, it's through Him that I am sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and set aside, that I can see these things. Because, you see, when something is real to you, it means you see it. It's a light on that thing. I can stand in front of a mirror and I don't see nothing unless there's light. Then what am I seeing? I'm seeing light. I'm not seeing myself. I'm not seeing the vessel. I'm seeing the outline of the vessel by the light. The light on the vessel, okay? So it's not just a word to them. They've seen it and are aware. They all heard the midnight cry. But the five who were filled with the Holy Spirit, it was a reality to them. While those not filled with His Spirit was just something to be heard. So what is the difference between the wise and the foolish virgin? From the token, Brother Bram said, we're told what makes up this difference. If you just got the word, that's all you got. But when the token is applied, then Christ is a reality to you. You see the difference? They got the same word. But it's not lit up by the Holy Ghost. From the unveiling, he said, Brother Bram continues, so we are invited into Him to be partakers of all that He is. Now think about that. All that He is. Because all that was in God, He poured into Christ. All that was in Christ, He poured into the church. So basically, the full attributes of God or Godhood are dispersed throughout the body of Christ. All right, we're invited into Him, which is hid to unbelievers by the veil of human flesh. Guess what? Your veil hides Him. My veil hides Him. Brother Dale was a veil. All right? Brother Branham was a veil. All right? So, they know that glory, and they read of it. It's in the Word here, of the glory of God and things like that. It's just a word to them. You know, and that's why I don't understand, because we all have the search engine, and we see this glory. He says, Father, I pray that the glory you gave me, I'm giving them, that they may be one as you and I are one. How many people do you know outside of this church understand, or are those that, you know, that hear on the tape around the world, how many people really understand what that glory is? It's His opinions. It's His values. It's His judgments. It's His word. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. They know that glory. They read of it. It's in the word here of the glory of God and the things like that. It's just a word to them. That's all it is. It's the word glory. They think it's maybe an illumination of light, you know, something. They don't realize it's God's very opinion. All right. To us, it's a manifestation. Now, wait a minute. How can the values and the opinions and the judgments of God be a manifestation? Well, He said it, and now you see it. He's placed it in His word. It's a word then, a word to them, a seed, but now it's become a reality. You actually, it's manifested to you. See, it is no more a word, it's a reality. Amen. God said, let there be light. That was the word. But now there is light. It ain't the word, it's the light. You see what I mean. So, therefore, it is all about seeing the word in a reality and what it says and not just believing it. To read it is just a seed, but to see it in manifested, you have entered into the reality of what it is. So, when we are doing our studies on the end time scenes, and you see that the earthquakes are a reality of God's power and presence, when you see the tunnels, He said that the men would do those things. They would live in caves and things like that, and live in tunnels, and we saw all that He did. When you see that the whirlwinds and the tornadoes are a judgment of God, and you've seen how the nation was split and how Katrina came in and those things, and you see the reality of the word, it's no more a word to you, something you read about. It's the reality of that word. It is God in reality. They know that it's God. They read of it. It's in the word here of the glory and things like that. But no. He says, so now we are invited into Him. Okay, so to be partakers of all that He is. We're invited into Him, which is hid to unbelievers by the veil of human flesh. See, they know that glory. They read of it. It's in the word here and the glory of God and the things like that. It's just a word to them. But to us, it's a reality. See, it's no more a word. It's a reality. Amen. God said, let there be light. That was the word. But now there is light. It ain't the word. It's the light. See what I mean? So we see the light of Genesis 1 and 3 was the first reality of God's word. Now, listen, God is eternal mind, okay? So that word was with Him in thought form, but when He spoke it, that speaking His thought was an expression, and that expression brought forth His Son, the Logos, the light. And God said, let there be light, and then there was light, okay? The Bible says our thoughts and are not His thoughts, and our ways are not His ways. So when He anoints you with His Spirit to see the same thing He sees, to understand the same things that he is. In other words, you understand his ways. You've gone from the place of reading it as word to reading, or actually to seeing with your eyes. In other words, you've gone from conscience and memory and the things of the spirit to the things of the flesh. In other words, there's a connection between the two dimensions. You're seeing things in this dimension that he said in that dimension. He said it in the word form, which is another dimension. You're now seeing it in your dimension. All right? So we are approaching resurrection. That's what I'm trying to get across. Now, from Why Christ Speak, he said, what was burning down in the heart had become a reality. He was anointed then, and he knowed he had, thus saith the Lord, there was nothing going to stop him now. Notice he said, the reality, when you see things manifested, you know you are anointed then. Amen? So that light was opened, the door, the word, was opened, and the light shone in, and now you actually are seeing what was standing there. Okay? Okay. Just like the wise virgins, when they had the light, he became not just the focus of the message, you know, behold, he's here, not just the focus of who we were to come out from of denomination to see, but the light, he became a reality to each one of them. With the light, he becomes the reality. All right? He said in the sermon, Investments, and we pray, Father, that thy word become a reality to us today. So what does that mean? That word becomes a reality to us. From Sign of the Times, said, when you come to find Jesus Christ to be a reality, and you hear that he is alive, there's nothing going to stop you. When that hunger, that seed that's been predestinated before the foundations of the world, when the light strikes it, that it's coming to life that quick. Now, and he snaps his fingers. In other words, when the Holy Ghost, who is that light, has quickened you, you see the word that was just a word to the denominations, and you see it is alive and is actually living today, and it has become a reality. Okay, so the apostle explains to us what happened to Moses when he came down from dwelling in his presence for 40 days and nights, and thus what will happen to us when we come into his same presence as he places his spirit, which is his light, upon us. In 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 1, or actually 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Now let's read 2 Corinthians 3, 1 to 18. Okay, are we beginning to commend ourselves? Are we bragging about ourselves? Or do we, like some people, receive letters of recommendation to you or from you? In other words, are we still playing those games, still playing church, where if I leave a particular body and I go to another, then the pastor writes me a letter and says I'm in good standing with the church? Are we still doing that, he says? Are we still playing church? You yourselves are our letter. Wow. In other words, you don't need a letter. You are the letter. You know, we read some time ago, 2 years maybe, where in science, they said the DNA that we have is a message. Not like a message, it is a message. All right? All of our chromosomes put together makes a message for each and every one of us. That's why you are different. All right? But you are a message. But he says, Paul says, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. In other words, look, they look at you, they know you're Christian. Why? Because of the way you're living. All right? He then tells us, you show, or how do we show? He says, by your life, that you are a letter of Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tables of the human heart. Wow. You know, we think we're listening to a tape Wednesday nights. We're not listening to a tape Wednesday nights. We're being etched. We're being etched by the Word of God. All right? He's etching in our hearts. God is etching. He's using the ministry of William Graham to etch into your hearts a change. You change from glory to glory, from opinion to opinion, from value to value, and you change then from image to image. You used to not look like a you might look like a so-called Christian, but you didn't look like a Christian, and now definitely you are a Christian. All right? I had a brother tell me, he sat under Brother Vail for 30 years, and then he came to this church and made a major transformation. And in that year, he said, you know, I never knew what it meant to be a Christian before, but now I do. You see, because God's word is etching into your soul, and he is manifesting God's seed in you. That's a great thing to think about, because we are actually being born the way we're supposed to be born. We weren't supposed to be born by the illegitimate sexual act that Eve had. We were supposed to be born by the spoken word. And then we would have been clothed with a body that does not know corruption. So you show that your letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Can you imagine a minister being so bold as saying, I took the Holy Spirit and I etched a product out of you. I etched a vessel of honor out of you. That's what he's saying. He took the very word from God that was in God, and as an instrument, like, you know, the Bible says, John said, if the whole ocean were an ink, and we penned the things that he did, it would take the whole ocean's, you know, to tell it. Well, how many believers, real believers, true believers, are changed from what they were? And guess what? It was done by that very word. Everybody has their story. You know, Justin has his book of life. I have my book of life. Steve has his book of life. Don has his book of life. You all have your book of life. And if we sat down, we could write a book of life, because it has been. And you've seen people in your book of life come into the chapter one, but maybe go out by chapter three. And I've seen the same thing. So, you know, and then some of you, by the grace of God, I see you in the final chapters. So, you know, it's the grace of God, but he's in every one of us a book of life. So, all right. In other words, you need not letters written by us, as if we can, by a letter, show you're in good standing, but your life actually reflects the word that we are preaching. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. You see, our confidence is not in you, is not by anything as though we ourselves have made you to reflect what you are, which is the true, genuine Son of God. It's not what we've done, but it's the word which was preached. It's not our words, it's his words. And that same word that we got from the prophet is doing the same thing. Hallelujah. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. In other words, it is not us, it's not our vessel, but what we share with you has made you what you are, a son of God, truly. In other words, I might be echoing, but what am I echoing? I'm echoing what I heard. It's not my words that I'm echoing, it's his words that I'm echoing. But that echo now has done something to you, because now you are echoing the same word that I'm echoing. You see? He has made us competent as ministers of his New Testament. It is not us, like I said, but what we share with you that has made you what you are. True sons of God. Not the letter of the Spirit, but for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So he is telling them that they are changed, a recognizable change. Some men used to be perverts, and they're no perverts no more. All right, they looked at things they shouldn't have looked at, and now they're shielding their eyes from them. Yet it had really nothing to do with the vessels of their own selves, as if they could do anything like this through human mortal effort. But this change in you has all to do with aligning up yourselves with the same word that also changed him. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was Moses' ministry under the law, which was engraved in letters on stone, but it came with glory. Remember, glory is the word doxa. It's the opinions and values here. So that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of his glory, his doxa, he had received that light. See, how do you see yourself standing in the mirror when there's no light? You don't see yourself. But when the light is fully manifested, it fully manifests who's standing in front of the mirror, right? All right. So if the face of Moses glowed with the glory, the opinions and dokes of God, which engraved in stone, letters on stone, but it came with glory so that the Israelites could not steadfastly look at the face of Moses because of his glory. Remember, they made him put on a veil. His doxa, he had received that light, transitory though it was. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be more glorious? If Moses came down after spending 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of God, and his face actually showed it, and they were afraid, so they made him veil up. What about if you and I stand in that same presence? Won't our faces light up like his did? Won't the same opinions and doxa of God shine off of you? In other words, if the ministration of the law, which brought death, could shine off of Moses' face, who received it from God's presence, then what about the ministration of life, which came through Jesus himself? He said, I did not come unto you to judge you by the law, which you could not live, but I came to set you free with light and life. Then he says it again, in other words, so to get across the impact of what he's telling them, if the ministration that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is a ministration that brings righteousness? For what was glorious, I'll put it this way. If the ministration of the light, which was engraved in stone, was glorious, stone, an inanimate object, how much more is a transformation in you from an unrighteous person to a righteous person? Yeah? How much more glorious is the ministration that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And what if the transitory came with glory? How much greater is the glory which lasts? Because that law which was brought down was temporary. You see, until Jesus manifested the very law that was in the laws in his own self. Therefore, since we have such hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day that same veil remains when the old covenant is read. In other words, their traditions and their creeds still blinds them. But now it has been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. That veil is a veil of traditions and creeds, which makes the word of God remain in its hidden form, just a seed form, and not a manifested reality. But now that the word has been made flesh, it is a reality and not just a word in seed form anymore. In other words, how is it that you know without a shadow of a doubt that William Branham was Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, Revelation 10, 1 to 7? How do you know he was? Because he did. How do you know you're a son of God? Because you do. Right? But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, who is the manifested word, the veil is taken away. Now, in other words, your traditions and your creeds, you say, wait a minute, that just doesn't make any sense. The word says this and they're saying this. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, where his presence is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, no more traditions and creeds, contemplate the Lord's glory. His doxa, which are his opinions, values, and judgments, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. In other words, the King James Version translates that this way. But we all, with open face, no traditions and creeds, or anything to block out what we see in this mirror of God's word, beholding as in a glass, we see the glory, we see the doxa of the Lord, and we are changed into the same from glory or doxa to glory to doxa, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We used to believe this, now we believe what he says, okay? In other words, when you stand before a mirror, shut off anything that will change the image of you standing there, and with the lights off, you see nothing, no vessel at all. But then turn on a light in the hallway and crack the door and let a little light in, and you will see a little of the one standing in front of the mirror. But still through a glass darkly. But still you will see just highlights, maybe a reflection of your forehead or your shirt or your blouse. But still the picture of what you are seeing doesn't give you a full picture of who you really are. But then you let a little more light, you let it in, and you see more details of yourself. Now, let in the full light, and you will know as you're known. You are a son of God now, but then you will know as you are known. But then really, what are you seeing is light. Without light, you see nothing. But you know the vessel is there. But with light, you are now seeing the light reflecting off of your vessel. And that is what's happened to Moses when he entered God's presence. And that is what you are seeing in yourself as you stand in the presence of his light. All right, Colossians 3 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall Pharaoh, or manifest in his true character, when is that? When the light is fullest. Then shall you also appear, Phanaru, manifesting your true identity, with him in glory, in the same doxa, the same opinions, the same values, and the same judgments. That is why Jesus prayed to his Father in John 17, 20 to 22. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, the word, art in me, the manifested word, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us. In other words, manifested word and word in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory or the doxa which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even in the same way we are one. In other words, God is light, you are light. No difference at all. Same life living in you. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made one, made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You know, I can't wait for my glorified body, because then I'll have a complete picture. You see, I'll be living in the light as he is in the light. Now, from the harvest time, Jesus said, that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. Not for some man to be over something. It never will work. One denomination wants to take over the other, and one man over the other, but that you might be one with God, like Christ and God was one. That's what the prayer is. See, that he was the Word, And Jesus prayed that we might be the Word reflecting him. That's his prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples it up in the mind. But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all, that we might all congregate together and have some certain creed and so forth. Every time you do that, they go further from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. All right. That we might receive the same doxa as he did, that we might be one with him as he and the Father were one. And that is why he said in John 14 that in that day we would be one with him. Verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father and you are in me and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. How has Christ manifested himself to you? You look in the mirror, you see yourself changing as Christ. Paul said, I live by the life of Christ. I live by his faith. You're living by his faith. It's not you then that's living anymore. You're dead. Hallelujah. You know, I can't kill off Brian Kosorek enough. I tried and the devil failed. All right? I failed too because I'm not dead. But God doesn't fail. So, one of these days, you'll see the real Brian. Okay. Now, from why Christ speak. And I think in the intellectual conception of what they think the Word is and so forth, never can have a full foundational stand until they have met the light that brings that Word to a reality. Now remember, Ephesians 5 and 13 says that all things that are manifested by the light. All right? So every seed of God, if the light is on your vessel, you can see it in a reality today. You see that this was, yeah, I read about this, but wow, these newspaper articles, these pictures, I'm seeing what he said. I'm seeing it for a reality. All right? I think no church in its practice, no matter how intellectual and fundamental it might be, that church cannot thrive until the supernatural is made known among that people and they see it and something that they can talk to that'll talk back to them that vindicates this Word of God.
Right. So is he talking to you through the Word? Yep. And is he talking back to you and showing you this is that? Yep. That's exactly what he's doing. Now, the greater the solemnness here, I shall in every devil that has his people bound upon the authority of God's word, the presence of Jesus Christ, who shed his blood to make every word a reality to every person that would believe. Satan, you are defeated. Your time is at hand. Lead these people in the name of Jesus Christ. So, he is praying that when we open our Bibles, we see today. You know, he made a statement that the entire New Testament speaks of this hour. And so based on that, I looked at the parables of Christ, and I showed you how it is manifested today. Then we looked at the benefits of knowing that he is the Son of God, and I showed you the benefits that you would have of these things. And so it's what 45 sermons there. So anyway, my prayer is that every one of you would have this reality living in them, then you would know that God certainly is alive and he's showing you exactly who he is and what he's doing. Now, from the take on the whole armor of God, he says Satan knows that the reason and where the reason lays. Yes, sir. To be an intellectual witness of his resurrection, he knows it would take the Holy Ghost, because man cannot do these things. He puts his army with the Holy Ghost to do these those things, to make known the secrets of the heart, as he promised. You can't do that kind with any kind of training. You've got to do that by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the arm of God. And this is the evening light. to make Hebrews 13:8 reality, it would take more than a training. You can read the words and read words and read words, and it'll never make it come to pass until you have the Holy Ghost there to manifest that. In other words, the entire Pentecostal experience. They all say, well, Brother Branham had a gift of wisdom or a gift of knowledge. They don't know that was the sign of Messiah, the same sign that Jesus had. And the sign of Messiah lets you know that Hebrews 4:12 is the word of God and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. They don't know that. They can't compare this scripture with that scripture and make it live because they don't, it's not for them. But for you. Alright? That's the light. Putting on the whole armor of God, not just a dress only. Dress up and say, glory to God, I got the Holy Ghost. Then you're spurting all the power out the whistle. You're doing no good. Put it in action. Put it in faith. Make it move. Make it do something. Putting on the whole armor of God to go out and withstand the wiles of the devil. From blind Bartimaeus. Now, isn't that a statement to make? How do I say that? Because God promises. He keeps his promises. He cannot fail. His promises is always true. Just pray. Has anybody ever seen the picture of the light, the angel of the Lord, the pillar of fire? Well, they got it. Science says it. Washington has it. Now the truth got it in reality. They got it on that picture. You got it in reality. It's here with us. It's leading us just as it led Israel, still leading the church as his presence, people. Now remember, just stop this. When you see the picture, you're seeing the reality of God's here. When you see the picture, you're seeing the reality of God's here. When you see the picture of the seven rainbows, that's the reality that God's still here, leading us to the money like he's promised. You see? In other words, people, we've come to a reality. We've come to know that he is alive, and he's here, and he's showing himself in various ways in your life, in my life, and, you said, I never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, I come from God. Do you believe that Jesus was that burning bush that Moses was out there? Do you believe that that was Christ? He was the angel of the covenant. It was the Logos that went out of God, Christ, when he was here on earth. He said, before Abraham was, I am. You know who I am? He said, I come from God. I go to God. Now, if the angel here is with us, if he's the same one that was in Christ, the Logos was in Christ, if that's in us, it'll do the same thing that it did when it was in Christ. Is that right? Let's get this. Well, let's see, brothers and sisters. How do we know that that's God? Because of the things that he's doing. How do we know that God is changing? It's the things that he's doing. You see? Amen. In other words, God is invisible because of Spirit. But it's using your vessel to make a reality. Through you, it's working to come around. From my pride speak, I think any man or woman, boy or girl, and I think if the intellectual perception of what they think the word is, and so forth, never can have a full foundational stance until they met the light that brings that word to that reality. I think no church in its practice, no matter how intellectual and fundamental it might be, that church cannot thrive until the supernatural is made known among the people, and they see it. Something that they can talk to, that'll talk back to them, that'll vindicate that written word. So, you see it here. It's still in a hidden form, a seed form, but what was in here, you are now seeing on a daily basis. And every day, if you're looking for it, God will show you more. Alright? Then what are you seeing? You are seeing the reality of the Word. Hallelujah. Then your vessel is being conformed to the image of the the firstborn son, who was the reality of God. Now remember, when Moses met the burning bush, that word
was vindicated exactly. It was the word. Moses didn't have to worry, what's this voice all about? What's this being here? Because God had already wrote on the scriptures in Genesis that you people will sojourn in the strange land, but they'll be brought back after 400 years, will come back into this country again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet fulfilled. And so it was a reality. When he saw that burning fire, that which was in his heart, now he said, oh my, he is real. And what you see, these things, when I see that Damascus shall be no more, and I can look and see pictures of Damascus, is just totally rubble. I say, wow, he's let this vessel see into that dimension, that it is real. We all know that that was a logos, to me it was the same God that led the children of Israel.
We all know that that was the logos. That the angel of the covenant, which is Christ, that led the children of Israel, Christ declared it to be so. He said he was the I Am, he was the burning bush, and he was the rock that was in the wilderness. That pillar of fire was made flesh and dwelt among us, and when he was here, he said, I come from God and go back to God. And after the death, burial, and resurrection, when he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, he had again the same pillar, same logos in a pillar of fire, manifested himself. And remember, Paul said, who is it, Lord? The light was so bright that it would have put Paul's eyes out, yet those standing by couldn't see it. It was a reality to those who God was revealed to, but to others who stood by didn't know nothing about it. You see? That's, my goodness, it shows that your eyes have been opened. That you are a part of what he's doing. That you are manifesting as sons of God. Mm-hmm. That you see the reality. It's just wonderful. You're not a foolish virgin. Because they couldn't see. You see, therefore you are. Mm-hmm. Alright? Hebrews 4, chapter 3. There's probably 10 or 15 men with him. Did any of those men see that light? No, sir. Paul saw it. It wasn't designated for them men to see it at all. Why is it that you see this message, the reality of it, and others who don't, who just say, oh, nonsense, you know, we got our denomination. Our denomination is great, our creed is great, our tradition is great, and they're just failing to recognize what God is doing right now. Some people can see things others don't. You know, we have the parable of the, you know, you say, why do you speak to the parable? Because it's given to you to see.
To perceive? To understand? But to them, it's not given to perceive, to understand. You see? So some people can see the things where others don't. See, Paul saw that light in so much that it even blinded him. He couldn't see for several days. It was such a reality to him that it blinded him. Right? And he couldn't see for several. Later on, when he wrote letters, his eyes bothered him so bad from that until he wrote with big letters, and he said, seeing that I have written to you with these large letters, he couldn't hardly see. He was in jail, and he asked the Lord to heal him of it. He consulted him 3 times. But what did the Lord say? My grace is sufficient for thee. And I have learned since this stroke about the grace of God that I never understood, because I could do, like the rich young ruler, you know, I prayed, you know, I did all these things in his name and this and that and this and that. But now I know, because I can't do, but he can do. My grace is sufficient for Paul. Paul said, then will I glory in my infirmities. Because he said, except I would be exalted above the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a messenger from the devil, a thorn in the flesh that would buffet me. He'd get better for a while, then away it'd go. Buffet means blow after blow. You know, I was sitting before Levon got home, and I before I went to bed last weekend, and about a half hour before I went to bed, something happened to me, and every synapse that fired before fired then. Everything. I could walk fast. I could jump up in the air because I stood there in the hallway and I jumped up in the air with an 18-inch vertical jump, which is all I got. But, you know, a white man can't jump, right? And I, you know, that's all I ever had when I was an athlete is 18 inches. And I did a free throw, you know, just, I mean, my arm went up real easy. I did a free throw and everything was firing. And I thought, oh my, I'm going to go to bed tomorrow. I'm going to get some, tonight, I'm going to get good rest and I'm going to wake up just as better than ever. And I woke up and I was like a month in regression. And I didn't understand it, but here he says, buffet means blow after blow. Like the ship on the sea, you know, the waves buffet it. See, blow after blow. And he'd get better and then have it again. And then get better and have it again. And he said, Lord, what's the matter? You don't take this away from me? He said, my grace is sufficient, Paul. Just keep on. It'll keep. Oh, my. I love this word so much. From sign of the time. She never even thought of it. You don't think either what this one's going to say and what mother's going to say and dad's going to say or husband's going to say when you come to find Jesus Christ to be a reality and you hear that he is alive, there's nothing going to stop you. Then that hunger, that seed that's been predestinated before the foundation of the world, when the light strikes that, it'll come to life that quick. This little woman was a type of seed, yet being an alien or a heathen. Now, remember, she probably had to travel by night. It was so hot on the Sahara Desert. And she traveled by night, maybe reading scrolls. And now we'll find out what the prophet said here about that God was. And I'll reveal the secrets of the heart. And if there be one amongst you, spiritual or a prophet, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him, speak to him in visions, and what he says comes to pass. Hear him. I'll find out when I get there. That's what that God is. I'll find out. Now, it's all about then seeing that word as a reality, not as a seed form. There is no life in that. But the word killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Abraham had a promise for 25 years, and he got older. He went from 75 to 100, and it looked like he was going backwards all the time, but he held that seed in his heart, and one day that seed became a reality, and this 100-year-old man was sporting with his wife, who was 90, and the king, young king, he saw them, and he lusted after her. And this promise from God became a reality in his body. He was able for that dimensional promise to become a reality in this dimension. The prophet of God was in his room and the pillar of fire entered the room. Out of the pillar of fire stood the angel of the Lord. It was from another dimension and became a reality in the dimension he lived in. That's what I'm talking about. We are coming to the place of a resurrection where the reality of the Word of God has become so real that this body of this death catches it and will transform us into that living image, into the living body, glorified body that he promised us. Well, let's just pray. Dear gracious Father, I know my words were not as adequate as I would like, but I hope that people catch the vision that we are coming. The whole world is forming. I mean, they're coming. They're going from male to female. They're going from female to male. You know, they call themselves transvestites. Well, we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this transforming power of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if we could have our brother come.